All right, thank you, Trey and Brace Rand and choir, for your leading us in worship. If you have your Bible this morning, turn it to Matthew 18. When Matthew asked me several weeks ago to fill in for him today, I immediately went to a passage of Scripture and started studying it, and he preached on it the next Sunday. So I moved to a second one, and about 2 weeks after that, he preached on that passage. So I did not even look and start studying until after Fletcher preached last week. Fletcher did a great job, didn't he, guys? He did a good job last week. And so I did not even start studying a passage until after that. And I was gone a couple weeks preaching, and Matthew may have gotten this text. I'm so mad at him, I'm going to drink out of his glass up here and not tell him, okay? Matthew 18, this is not an easy sermon, and I tried to get away from this. I tried to move from it, and God wouldn't let me, and I've learned so much by studying this passage this week. I had a little time in a Chick-fil-A, spent a couple hours there looking at it, and then Friday afternoon I spent a good bit of time, and then some yesterday and this morning. But it's talking about forgiveness, and I'll talk to you about the freedom of forgiveness. It's probably one of the hardest things that we do, hardest things that we have to do in our Christian walk, in our Christian journey. It's a journey we have to take. So I'm going to start in verse 21. I'm going to read to the end. It's a lot of scripture, I know. Now, y'all know me, a lot of times I cover it verse by verse. I'm not going to be able to do that this morning. I'm just going to cover a couple verses and then tell you the story at the end here. But look at, this is Peter. Then Peter came to him, being Jesus, "Lord, how oft should my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Sounds pretty reasonable to me, doesn't you? Jesus said to him, "I did not say it to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." Now, one talent was worth about 15 years labor, okay? So think about that, about 15 years labor. But since he did not have the means to repay, the Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell on the ground and laid before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." And the lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave the debt. Notice what the slave did. But the slave went out and found one of his servants who owed him 100 denarii, and the denarius is like one day's pay. So he had 100, okay? And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay me back what you owe." So the fellow servant fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison, that he should pay what he was owed. So when his fellow servants or fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to the Lord all that happened. Then summoning him to his Lord, said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I have mercy on you?" And the Lord was moved with anger and held him over to be tormented until he should repay all that was owed. And the Heavenly Father was also the same to you, for each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Father, let us forgive from our heart. As we look at this passage of Scripture, God, allow it to bounce off the pages and bounce into our heart. And God, just circumcise our heart and recall who we need to forgive and why, and do it. Allow me to recall what I need to recall and forget what I need to forget, that we might hear out of you. So God, right now, as we dig into this text, God, just make it plain to us. Remove me remove any obstacle in the room that we might hear out of you, for you hear ask this in your holy name. Amen. R.T. Kendall has written a lot of books on forgiveness. He's one of the great writers, and he tells about a time when he was hurt very greatly, and he had all of this pain, and it was so profound. This person that he was hurt at, he looked at as a father figure, and he was angry, and he was overwhelmed, and he began to talk it over with Joseph Tosin, a Romanian pastor, and he poured all the details out, what this so-called friend had done to him, and he paused and waited for the pastor to say, "R.T., you had a right to feel angry. What happened to you is awful." But he didn't do that. So Pastor Kendall started over. He was dumbfounded, and he started the story over again with more details, and he interrupted him, and he said this to R.T., "You must totally forgive them and release them, and you will be set free. Release them, and you will be set free." Now, the moment that I read those words or say those words, we begin to argue in our mind and heart this: forgive them? Never. You don't know what they did to you, or did to me, excuse me. No, I don't. But I know what we did to Jesus, and Jesus forgives us. And I know what Jesus commands us to do and instructs us to do. And there's nothing easy about this thing called forgiveness. Now, I want to do two or three things here before I kind of get into the motion of the text here. First of all, I want to define forgiveness. Corrie ten Boom said this: "To forget is to set a prisoner free and discover that prisoner was you." To set them free. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is the act of pardoning someone for wrongdoing or an offense. So we forgive the act of, and we pardon them for something they've done, no matter what it does, little or big or whatever we may say, we forgive them. And what we do is we release that, and we let go of the resentment, we let go of the anger, and we let go of the desire to get revenge. And that is natural. We want to get revenge and to get even, and we let that go. C.S. Lewis said this. I love this, and I'm going to use this in another place. "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely thing until they have to do something or they have something to forgive." In other words, we think it's a good thing until it hits us in the face and we have to forgive someone. And it's not easy. It's a hard road to carry. It's a journey. And it binds us up. And if we want to be set free, we have to learn to forgive. Secondly, just for a minute, I want to talk about how serious it is to seriousness of forgiveness. And he says here in this verse here, he says, "Then Peter came and said to him, I offer my brother should sin against me, and I forgive him up to seven times." And Jesus says seven times 70. See how serious it is that you forgive? Now, experts tell us that forgiveness, if it's done quickly and fully as possible, it will help us. It will help us. It will motivate us. It will move us. According to some professionals, we should try to forgive for the sake of our own health. We get rid of the anger, the resentment, the jealousy, the envy, the bitterness that weighs us down. Y'all know who Buddy Hackett is? Some of you may have to go look him up. I found this morning. Listen to this about what Buddy Hackett says. He was an actor. "I've had a few arguments with people, but I never carry a grudge. You know why? While I'm carrying a grudge, they are out dancing. I'm carrying this grudge, and they could care less. They don't even know it. And they could care that I feel that way." Jesus emphasized this. Jesus said this, and he talked about the importance of forgiveness. In Matthew 6:14, he says this: For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others your sins, your Father will not forgive you. The end of this story says, my heavenly Father will also do the same for you, that each one does not forgive his brother from his heart or from your heart. In other words, you will be tormented. Refusing to forgive somebody is like drinking poison and expecting that poison to affect them. So it's very complex. Very, very complex. Janet and I had Reagan Allen with us the other day, and she wanted an ice cream. That kid loves ice cream, and I said, I'm not going to get you an ice cream unless your mama says it's okay. So I text Amy, and she said, sure. So I said, Amy, Reagan, you don't go to Dairy Queen? She said, no, I want to go to racetrack. Man, that's my kind of girl, little redneck girl, want to go to racetrack, you know. Guarantee you, she's going to drive a four-wheel drive pickup when she grows up, okay? And she goes in there. I go in with her, and Janet's sitting in the Jeep, I go in with her, and she gets this bowl and fills it up with ice cream, and she puts these nuts, these chocolates, these cherries, these strawberries, something else, the kitchen sink, whatever, what else go in there. I don't know if it's an ice cream or an experiment, okay? I couldn't figure it out. When she came out, Janet said, that looks so gross, I'm sick just looking at it. And she ate every bite of it. Ate every bite of that. That's us. We take all of this anger, resentment, and all of this, that's these emotions that we have, we don't forgive, and we put them together and we cover them up and we make it look good and we pretend everything is okay. One writer says that we have bitterness to unforgiveness to pretense. I think it's the other way around. We have pretense to unforgiveness to bitterness. You ever drink something bitter? Every once in a while, I will get a cup of coffee. I quit doing this because I asked a question at Dunkin' Donut. And dumb me, I wouldn't take a sip of it. And I would get down the road about 2 miles and take a sip of my coffee, and it would completely be bitter. It had been sitting there a while. So now I say, do you have fresh coffee? If not, I'll stand there while they make it. I don't like bitter coffee. And our life can become bitter. It will have bitterness. And we'll cover it up. And we'll pretend everything is okay. And we'll put all this stuff together and mix it all up. And walk through life like everything's all right. While we're boiling inside. And we're pretending we're going through it. Okay, so that is the seriousness of it. It'll overtake us. It'll cause us health problems and everything else. And I'll mention a couple other things here in a minute about that. Now, let me show you a third thing here that... I'm going to try my best. There's 15 of these. I'm going to try my best to go through these just as quick as they are. It's the misconception of forgiveness. And look, there's about six or seven messages that could be taught out of this one message here. Because there's so many misconceptions of forgiveness and what it is. And I've listed 15 here, and there's a whole lot more. There's probably 25 that I wrote down. But I'm going to hit 15 of them and go through them. It's easier sometimes to say what it's not than what it is. So let's go through these one at a time here. First of all, it does not mean approving what someone else has done. I'm not giving them the stamp of approval of what they've done. By the way, if you're taking notes and don't get all this, I'll give it to you later. It doesn't mean that we're pretending that evil never took place. It never happened. It's not pretending that. It does not make excuses for other people's bad behavior. That's just the way they are. That's the way they were raised. That's hogwash. Jesus changes lives. He changes us. It does not mean justifying evil so that sin somewhat becomes less sinful. It does not mean overlooking abuse. No, it does not at all. And I've had people in abusive situations, and I say you got to remove yourself, even though you forgive them for a period of time. It does not mean denying that others tried to hurt you repeatedly. I had a secretary one time, and her mother-in-law repeatedly hurt her, and she knew she was doing it. And I asked her one day, I said, you ever put your hand on a hot stove? She said, yes. I said, you going to do it again? She said, no. So you got to watch about putting yourself in that place. There's things called boundaries. Sometimes it gets involved in this. It does not mean letting others walk all over you. Meekness is not the same thing as weakness. Listen to this one. It does not mean refusing to press charges when a crime has been committed, even though you have forgiven them. Listen, because I hear this all the time. It does not mean forgetting that the wrong was done. God does, we think that God forgets. No, the word, it means it's like a debt. He doesn't hold it against us. By the way, we need to remember because we what we do is we learn. We grow. It's a journey. And we learn what God has done. And therefore, when somebody else is hurting, we can apply that to them. We can walk with them through it. And so we let it go. We release it. By the way, you're not God. You're human. And you will remember it sometimes. It does not mean pretending you were never hurt. Now, let me do these three, and then I'm going to say something about all three of them together. Listen to this one. It does not mean that you must restore the relationship to what it was before. Did you hear what I said? It does not mean you become best friends again. It does not mean total, listen, reconciliation as if nothing ever happened. Let me say that one again. It does not mean total reconciliation as if nothing ever happened. Listen to this. Reconciliation is always, always, always to go. Reconciliation is always, always to go. But sometimes you cannot reach that goal. Forgiveness is different than reconciliation. You may not can reconciliate with them because they're a jerk or they're you know, whatever, or because you're going to be harmed, or they may even be dead. And you don't always have reconciliation. It's the goal as a Christian, but you may not be able to do that. It's always to go. You see, forgiveness is different than reconciliation. Forgiveness, it should be almost instantaneously, and I'm going to show you in a minute that it's not always that way. We have to walk through it. But forgiveness and trust is different. I can forgive you, but I might not trust you. I might forgive you or something, but I might not give you my bill phone next week. Trust is earned. Forgiveness is an act of grace, and it takes God's grace that He's forgiven us, working through our life and working with us. So it's different. It does not mean that you tell the person you have forgiven them. Sometimes people do this little silly things that you get hurt over. So you just need to forgive and go on. You don't need to even bring it up. If you need to bring it up, Matthew 18, I'm up at the top. By the way, in the context of this passage, it's talking about discipleship and discipline people and how you go to people and ask for forgiveness. If we would just do that as Christians, if I'm really hurt at you and I can't get over it, if I would just do that as a Christian, go and talk to you instead of talking to everybody, what I do is I talk to everybody else and I become the offender. The offended become the offender. If I would just go to them and talk, and I'm not talking about by text. I have a, I don't even know if I need to tell y'all this. I have a guy that's been mad at me about 3 years. He wants to do it by text. I am not going to have a texting war with somebody. If you don't have the courage and the character as a Christian to Matthew 18 me in person, I don't have time on text to argue with you. And we're better off to get forgiveness. I didn't mean to get on that. Okay. It does not mean you tell the person you've forgiven them. It does not mean all the negative consequences of sins are canceled. Let's say this college football major. Football coach. He is hired, before he ever coaches a game, he supposedly goes out to a topless nightclub and engages in activities, excuse me, that embarrasses the university. And the activity is exposed. And what he does is he confesses those activities and he asks forgiveness. And forgiveness is granted. But he's still fired because of what he's done to that university. Now, you know the name Nick Saban, but do you know the name before Nick Saban coached? Go look it up. Go look it up. He asked for forgiveness. He got forgiveness, but that didn't take away the consequences of his sin and what he had done. It never takes the consequences away. So there's a lot of misconceptions, and we could talk a whole lot more about those. Let me give you so we're here that we need to forgive. You saw the misconceptions and how serious it is and what kind of how it's defined. But let me walk you through this thing about forgiveness, and forgiveness is a matter of heart. It's a matter of the heart. That's what he says in this verse. He talks about the very last verse that is from your heart. So we got to learn to forgive, and this was not on the PowerPoint what I'm about to say, I don't think. But what you have to do is you have to learn to forgive. You have to realize that you have to forgive somebody. It's like an onion. You don't know why you're angry. You don't know why you're resentful. You don't know why you're depressed. You don't know why your blood pressure is high. You don't know why you're having migraines. You can't figure it out. And you have to realize some way come with the term that you need to forgive. And as I said, listen to this, what C.S. Lewis said. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. It's a lovely idea for me to stand up here and preach and talk to you about this, but then when I face it, it gets a little harder. Now, I just had cataract surgery. That's the reason I'm wearing these little doopy glasses, because they're temp glasses. And I know y'all think I look cool, but these little glasses on my big fat head doesn't make me look cool. And so what he told me the other day, there is something wrong in my left eye behind the lens. And I was going to have to go back over, and they're going to take a laser and go into my eyeball and laser whatever's wrong in that behind that lens. Now, this was his words. There's nothing to it. It's not his eyeball they're lasering. It's mine. It's not your forgiveness necessary. It's mine that I need to deal with. Now, you have to deal with yours. It's easy to say and preach and talk about this, but it's difficult. One day Peter came to Jesus in verse 21, and he said something to him like, "Yo, Jesus, how often should I have to forgive? Seven times?" Now, you have to understand what's going on here. The priest taught that you forgive people three times. That'd be easy. Most of you can count to three, can't you? Most of you. That'd be real easy. So Peter trying to, kind of up it some, he doubled it and added one. That's seven, okay? Three and three is seven. Just try to help y'all out, okay? Seven times. So what did Jesus say? I didn't say seven times. I said seven times 70. Now, somebody smart, tell me how much that is. 490. Okay, we got a few math people. 490 times. What is he saying? It's endless. Matter of fact, the word, the 7 and the 70 are perfect numbers. You're probably not going to keep up with, I forgave this person 367 times. By the time you get to on up there, you've forgotten it and you've moved on. And he's saying by the grace of God that we forgive these people. There's a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow and a lot of hurt. And Jesus says it's impractical to do it three times, 7 times 70. And you have to realize and learn to apply this. Then he tells a story. He tells a story about this boss, and this boss went out and was going to collect his money and what was due to him. The first person he goes to owes him, on today's standards, listen to this, owes him like $50 million. Now, this guy's going to sell his wife and kids. If I knew my wife was worth $50 million, I would not consider, never mind, $50 million. She said no here. She'll give me later. And he pleads with him to forgive him. And what does he do? He wipes the debt clean. He takes the debt away. And then this same slave, this same worker, goes out, excuse me, y'all, to one of his workers. And he goes to him, and it's like $100 in today's money. And he chokes him. He puts him in jail. And then the boss finds out about it, and he goes back to this slave and this worker, and he tells him what he's going to do, and he's going to put him in jail. He's going to put him in jail. And he says he will be tormented. Tormented. How are we tormented? When we don't forgive. You see, Jesus has already forgiven us over here, and we go back and somebody, look what we did to Jesus to get him on the cross, put him on the cross. Now, you say they did that. No, you and I helped every time we sin. And so Jesus has forgiven us all this over here, and if somebody over here does something to hurt our feelings, and we do not forgive, and according to the Bible, we're tormented. How we're tormented? It's hidden. Anger. Resentment. Jealousy. It's all hidden. We're tormented. That bitterness comes out. That frustration, that malice. It'll give you ulcer, to give you high blood pressure. It'll make you have headaches and make your back hurt. We'll lay in bed all night long stewing on a rotten thing that they did to us, and it will suck the joy out of our heart because we have not forgiven with our heart. And then we'll start pretending everything's okay, and we layer it, and we suppress it and depress it, and we put it down, and we walk through life like everything's okay, and we have all this bitterness. And we don't realize it because we have forgiven. You see, Jesus deals with the heart. How's your heart? He doesn't deal with your pretenses. So what do we do? Let me give you kind of what we need to do here. And if you've heard me preach on forgiveness, you've heard some of this before. I'm just painting it with a little different color. And these are not original with me. I'll be honest with you. Don't know where I got them. Got them years ago, and I used them. I used them a couple years ago. I took them, used them in a deacon's training, and used them some other ways. But I use these two or three things here. And so let me just walk you through it here. For you to make a conscious decision today, if somebody's hurt your feelings or done something wrong to you, no matter how bad it is, that maybe will help you. The first thing is you got to choose to forgive them. As a Christian, it's a Christian virtue. As a Christian, you have no other choice but to choose. You have to consciously, willfully make that choice. You have to, in your mind, set your mind to, you see, forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a conscious choice, an act of the will. Those emotions like anger, sadness, and betrayal, all of those are involved. But if we hold on to them, what happens to us? And I didn't put this one on the PowerPoint, but I didn't think about it this morning, but listen to what it says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. You have to choose. It's a decision that you have to make that you're not going to live in the past, that you're not going to live with this. Now, it doesn't mean you deny the pain. It doesn't mean necessarily you try to change the past. It means you break the cycle. Life is too short. I heard on a secular radio show this week that all of us have at least one grudge that we've held on to life. Now, I think that's semantics, because I think all of us at least have one person that we need to forgive and go on with life and not hold a grudge. And we have to choose to do that, and it will set you free, or it'll bind you up. So it's a choice. Will you choose today to forgive whoever has offended you? And they may be dead. And you say, how can I handle that? Well, I'll give you some ways if you'll come to me. The last time I said the way from the pulpit, somebody accused me of being a New Ager. But I'll give you some ways that I think are scriptural. If they're dead, or if you don't, they're in prison and you can't. You one of the things you can do is just journal about it. It helps us psychologically and spiritually just to journal sometimes about it. But are you going to choose? Jesus said 7 times 70. You got to choose. And then this is what happens. You may choose today, and one writer disagrees with me on this, but I can't help it because he's wrong. But you got to choose. Matter of fact, I think it's Billy Graham's daughter talks about that. She had to forgive her dad for some things, and I think she's the one that says that this is not true. But in my cases, what I deal with and people I deal with, I see this is true. Not only is it a choice, it's a process. It's a process. You see what happens? Buddy offends me. Now, Buddy's never offended me. Buddy offends me, and I choose today to forgive Buddy. You know, I'm this big spiritual Christian person, and I can walk and forget about it, and I never bring it up again. It never enters my mind again because I chose to forgive. No. I'm human. You know what happens? Tomorrow I think about it again. So what do I do tomorrow? Well, I have to choose again. It's an individual process. We're human. It comes back to our mind. And we have to choose today to forgive in our heart and mind again. Today I may forgive 100 times. Tomorrow may be 99. The next day it may be 47. Whatever it is, I have to choose to forgive. It's a process. It's a journey. It's a journey. By the way, listen, you can forgive somebody and not them not do anything to earn it at all. Matter of fact, they may not want to be forgiven. Forgiveness is like salvation. It's of grace, and it's freely given. You may forgive somebody and then somebody else, they never know about it. They never know about it. Why? It's a matter of the heart. So I choose to. I walk through life, and the next couple of days I think about it again. So I have to choose again. So then what happens? One day it's done. It's done. It's done. It's released. It's gone. Now, how do I know a lot of times when it's gone? Well, a lot of times it's when I can pray for them. Now, I don't listen to a lot of country western music, but I want to read you this song because this is not what I'm talking about. When somebody's hurt you, I'm not talking about you praying this way, okay? I have been to church since I don't remember when. There's going to be, things are going great till they fell apart. So I listened to the preacher. He's told me what to do. Said I can't go on hating others. You have done wrong to who have done wrong to you. Sometimes we get angry and we must not condemn. Let the good Lord do his job. Just pray for them. I pray your brakes go out running down a hill. I'm not talking about that. I pray a flower pot falls from the windowsill and knocks you in the head like I'd like to. I pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when your engine stalls. I pray all your dreams never come true. Just know wherever you are, honey, I pray for you. Really, I'm glad I found my way to church because I'm already feeling better. I thank God for the words. Yay, I'm going to take the high road and do what the preacher told me to do. You keep messing up and I'll keep praying for you. I pray your tire blows out at 110. I don't like this one. I pray that you pass out with your best friend and wake up with his and her tattoos. I pray your brakes go out running down a hill. I pray a flower pot falls from a window sill and knocks you like I'd like to. I'm not talking about that you pray for them an accident to happen. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking about you get to where you pray that they might be whole. And you begin to release it. And you begin to release what they have done to you. I'm a little hesitant about doing this because we stream and you never know who watches. But studying for this message this week through a set of unusual circumstances, real unusual circumstances, through back to somebody else, God allowed me to recall something that happened to me. I guess it was 50 years ago, 45, 50 years. I graduated. It's when I graduated high school, so it was about 10 years ago. Okay, me and this guy had been real good friends. We had done things together and such. And he did something he did something that offended me, highly personal, and I was upset about it, and other people was upset about it. They recognized it. Matter of fact, I had one friend said, "I'll take him outside the woodshed if you want to." It's good for preachers to have friends like that, okay? You don't want to go to jail, but your friend go to jail for you, you know what I mean? And honest, guys, I don't remember these steps. I don't remember doing these. But I had not recalled that. I'm about to fall up here. I had not recalled that in years. That's what it's all about. If I saw that person today, I would talk to him. I'd be okay with him. I wouldn't bring that up. I wouldn't go there at all. If I saw him on the side of the road and he broke down, I would call one of y'all. No, I would stop. And all of a sudden it hit me. I'm not bragging on me. I've done just what I'm asking you to do, and I had not ever realized it. And I probably have done it more than that time. It's not easy. But what if I'd held out for these 50 years? Now, Janet says I've become a grumpy old man, so maybe that's part of it. But what if I've held that for 50 years? Life's too short. I'm telling you, life is too short. And people are more important. And your pride will get in the way. And you'll say, "I am not going to forgive that person." But you're never more like Jesus until you forgive. until you forgive. And you'll never see the freedom until you forgive, until you release them and let them go. You set them free. How many of you have a garage or a basement? A lot of times, our garage is not this way. It's pretty neat, but our basement's this way. A lot of times you'll put things in the basement or garage and you'll clutter it up with all of this stuff, and you'll put your $40,000, $50,000 car outside, two of them outside, and you got all this, and you'll clutter your garage. They say after 3 to 6 weeks, you put all that clutter in there, after 3 to 6 weeks, you don't even see it. You walk right by it. Listen, if we don't forgive, we stuff it down, and after three, we just all of a sudden, it's like that ice cream. We pretend it's not good. Not good for us to do that. And we pretend. And we don't follow Jesus. And we don't forgive like Jesus. Our oldest grandson got married last year, and he not because of him, but she's just a sweetheart. He married a little sweetheart, and she got pinned the other night as a nurse, and about to go to work as an RN. And we went, and I never noticed this, and she hugged me or something, and I noticed on her arm, right here, tattooed. I didn't have time to ask her about this. 7 times 70. Listen, you don't have to tattoo that on your arm. You need to tattoo it on your heart. Is Jesus forgiven you? Maybe that's the problem. You're not walking in the forgiveness of Jesus. Now, I didn't say this was easy. We're all human. And it takes all the grace of God for us to just release a debt and walk through life with joy. We have two choices. We choose, we go through the process, and we get done, or we walk through life